If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
We Will Rock You starts to blare. And let us see if indeed that phone call that he's been waiting for months upon months has come.
He's got the game face on. You would think he's coming in.
One drink of water. Two drinks of water, and one ball of emotion, a healthy one at that, coming out.
Hey, everybody, it's Chuck Arfine. Welcome to the White Sox Talk podcast, accompanied as always by our great friends at Wintrust. So 4 months after announcing that he had stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, there was Liam Hendricks on the mound pitching for the White Sox on Monday night. He and the White Sox didn't beat the Angels on this night, but Liam Hendricks beat cancer. He crushed cancer. And here on the podcast, you're going to hear from Liam Hendricks talking about his emotional season debut, the fight it took for him to get to this point. I also speak with Andrew Vaughn and Sebi Zavala about Liam. So this is a podcast in honor of Liam Hendricks, what he has done, the inspiration of the White Sox closer, his journey back to the majors. It's coming your way next.
White Sox, White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
That ball hit deep, way back, deep to left field.
Holy cow, Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead.
Jimenez leaves the ballpark.
You can't put it on the ball. Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk podcast.
When the word came out that Liam Hendricks had cancer back in January, we were thinking, oh, maybe he's back. Maybe he's back in 2023. Or if he's back this season, it's going to be what, August? September? But privately, he was telling teammates, friends, close friends, that his goal was to make it back to the major leagues in May. In May, he went through cancer treatments during spring training, and in between cancer treatments, he was showing up in Glendale and throwing during spring training. That was the sign of what was, I think, to come for Liam. And when you realized the fight that he had in him. Cancer had no idea what it was dealing with Liam Hendricks. So there he was, top of the eighth inning. Sox are trailing 8-3. And he actually, even before that, it's the fifth inning, and he walks from the dugout to the bullpen. Dugout to the bullpen, gets a standing ovation from White Sox fans. And there was a Sox fan with this sign that said, "I'm fighting too. Thanks for inspiring me." And this was Liam Hendricks' fight, but he knew that White Sox fans were in this fight with him from the very beginning. The outpouring of support and love the White Sox fans have had for Liam Hendricks since January has been overwhelming, and he has talked about that. And so there were people watching Liam on Monday night who know someone battling cancer, or maybe were battling cancer themselves, and they saw Liam 4 months after being diagnosed with cancer doing that. So he gives up 2 runs. There was a sac fly, an RBI single by Mike Trout. He's throwing 96, throws 27 pitches, and you couldn't help but get choked up by just looking back at what he had gone through to get to that point. Yes, he gave up two runs. Yes, the White Sox lost the game, but it's a win for Liam Hendricks. It's a win for all of us because we all know someone who has been lost to cancer, everyone. And here was someone dealing with a life-threatening illness, and he did that. Let's hear from Liam Hendricks after the game on Monday night.
Do I need this?
Made out there. I mean, will it take a little bit to sit back and kind of take it all in?
No, I mean, if the camera was on me, you would have seen a very animated Liam in the dugout. And it was, yeah, obviously frustrating. First off, I want to thank everyone who stood up and clapped and did all that. It definitely meant a lot both times when I was walking out to the bullpen and coming into the game. I want to thank Matt Theis for stepping out and giving me time to go about doing that. That was I really appreciate that. It was a huge sign of respect, and I really, really appreciate that. Not so much the 104.8 off the bat, but other than that, it's fine. Yeah, it was great being back out there, getting back, putting cleats on, running out, doing all that. Like, I felt good. I felt strong. I felt comfortable out there. Unfortunately for me, it just wasn't able to get the two-strike pitch where I wanted it to, and that was the bit for today. It was get ahead, generally. And then struggle to put them away. So it's there's some positives from a purely baseball aspect, but there was definitely some things to work on. And we get back and be available and ready to go tomorrow.
How easy was it, I guess, to take yourself away from the motion of the moment and get into competitive mode?
It was a lot easier tonight than I expected. I think getting out there kind of. I did take a minute and step and look around the crowd and just like soak it all in a little bit better than I had in Gwinnett that time. So getting out there and doing it that way was great. But yeah, it was a little bit easy to get those competitive juices flowing a little bit more. I kept the first ball that I threw. I think it was something a little bit of a keepsake. I'd prefer to have it and not need it than need it and want it and not have it. So yeah, other than that, it was a little bit easy to get out there, and then got a little mad once I gave up a runner, and then kind of didn't make the pitches where I needed to. But unfortunately, it is what it is. And I look at it from a point of, like, if I didn't give up two runs, that's a tied game, and we're looking at continuing playing and having a chance to win. And that's unfortunately where we're at right now.
It seems very you to be focusing on the results of a baseball game, but this day in general, what was it like for you? We saw you get emotional during the check presentation and everything. If you can not think about the baseball part of it for a second,
yeah, it was definitely emotional. There was a lot going on. It was nerve-wracking going out, being kind of available today and having that go on. It was humbling going out there and walking out there and seeing the amount of people wearing my shirts, the amount of people having signs or flags or anything like that, the amount of people that were chanting when I came into the game. It was a very humbling and sobering moment for me, because just realizing that, like, the impact my wife and I have had around the city with what we've been able to do, it's an extremely emotional time. I mean, we're both very animated people, as if anyone watching the game could have told. But yeah, it was a great feeling, like walking around downtown, like. I parked and walked over to see my Christy and my parents over at a place in three or four in the space of 100 yards, saying good luck, congratulations, all this sort of stuff. So the outpouring of love, not only online and social media, but in person, has been huge. And I want to thank the city of Chicago for embracing us in this way. And hopefully we have and can still continue to move forward and represent this city well.
Matt Theis for stepping out of the box, and you see the Angels also applauding you in the dugout when you came.
Yeah, I saw them and then tried to quickly glance away. As I said in Gwinnett, I it's great, and I truly really appreciate everything. But it's very hard to get into my right frame of mind knowing that they're actually good people. So I have to trick myself into thinking that they're terrible and that they don't deserve to get anything. But that's just the way I pitch, and that's the way I am. It's yeah, you're always looking for a slight, always looking for an advantage, always looking for a chip on your shoulder of what they can do. But no, I'm very appreciative. Phil Nevin came up to me during batting practice today and just had a chat and said, I'm glad to see me back, and hopefully I'm more of the 91, 93 range that I was my last outing in Charlotte rather than what I was in the stuff. But yeah, it's the outpouring of love from not only White Sox fans, but fans all over the game, different organizations. I know that the Blue Jays had sent a video of saying congratulations on being back, and I want to thank Jordan Romano, Matt Chapman, and Chris Bassett and the Blue Jays organization for sending that out. That really hit home that it's not just guys here, it's guys all around the league. There's Jameson Taillon and Trey Mancini both text me today, among a plethora of other people, but Jameson was one of the ones who just texted me, was like, hey, look, so happy you're back. Let's do something. Let's get together and let's do a joint thing at a hospital. Let's do something and move forward, and we can do some good in this town. And that's that speaks to where he's at, and I'm all on board. So hopefully we can do something good with that. Yeah. Cheryl.
What was it like to be in the bullpen with your teammates, getting ready to prepare? And did it feel like it was normal for you?
Relatively normal. It was a little different walking out than I'm used to. A little bit more clapping and video and all that sort of stuff, but it was great being out there. I did my normal routine. I sit next to TJ, the security guard. I sit out there with Hass, and I look at, go over the video, I go over the media notes for that day and all this sort of stuff. So it was relatively normal. Obviously this year it's a little different. We got a bullpen with a room now, so it's that's a new addition. But for the most part, it was just doing my normal thing, my normal routine. And it was definitely nice being out there, being able to kind of converse a little and get back into the sledging, as the Aussies call it, in the bullpen, which was nice. It was a good change of pace to get out there and actually like feel like I'm part of the, not that I didn't feel like I was part of the team, but feel like I actually can contribute today. And that's it definitely changes when you're wearing cleats instead of turfs.
You're welcome, Jen. Being able to watch the video that the White Sox produced yesterday, just how did that hit you?
Yeah, I haven't been outwardly emotional very often throughout this journey, and that was one of the ones that got me. So I made sure to go up and thank and hug Vaughn, Cease, and Giolito for being a part of that and taking the time out of their day to film that. The White Sox organization has been fantastic throughout this entire journey. It's I don't think not too many organizations would kind of let me go about the interesting rehab assignments post the way I did it, where going out to Gwinnett, going to Charlotte, realizing I'm sucking, staying an extra day, being like, hey, I need to get out of here, I'm getting worse, coming out here, throwing three live BPs and getting back into it after not having a spring training. I don't think that's too many organizations would be willing to go that route, and I want to thank them for letting me go through that, knowing that I know, well, I think I know how I'm going to react and respond to things and watching the process. And obviously tonight was, from a pure stuff point of view, the best I've felt the entire time. I think I was, 5-7? So everything came out well. Just overcooked sliders, and that was the problem. I got a little too excited with my breaking stuff. And unfortunately, when I'm not quite locating as well as I want to, that it takes its toll.
Do you like to go right back to the closer's role, or are you okay with just whatever they – want you to do?
I'll never be okay with mediocrity. I'll never be okay with not being at the back end of the bullpen. But in saying that, I need to earn it. It's not something that I don't want handouts. Like, I need to earn it. I need to earn it. The guys have been throwing well out there, but at the end of the day, that's mine. But as I said, I need to earn it. There's no freebies. There's no handouts. I will get there, and I will earn it myself.
How are you feeling physically right now?
Yeah, it's a little bit more dry mouth than normal, but that could be also just because I haven't really run in from a bullpen too often, and that's a lot longer than I thought. But yeah, it's pretty much normal. Like, getting on the mound, everything was coming out fine. Almost killed Sebi Savala with my warm up curveball because he wasn't wearing a mask, and that was terrifying for, I think, both of us. But other than that, I feel great. Like physically, I feel fine. Now it's just there's no other way to really build it other than games. Like that game strength, it's the being on your legs, moving, pushing around, and that's usually what spring training's for. And it's now I got a chance to do it a little bit more. But as I said, this is it's been a nice kind of comeback here with they being able to throw to Luis Sierra and Miguel Gonzalez, that bullpen catches, having Kurt Hassler and Ethan Katz's eyes on me, having Rod and Aaron and BJ and Ross and all the video guys being able to kind of go over things that, and they've seen me for the past several years. They've seen what I'm doing and this, the little nuances that sometimes the data picks up, but quite often it's just the old school eyes being on you that can really tell the difference.
Next day, or do you have to have space between?
No, God, there's no space. I wouldn't have come back if I needed space. This isn't a kind of rehab while in the big leagues kind of thing. This is when I came back, I was planning on being available for these next 3 days. And if the phone rings tomorrow for me, the phone rings tomorrow, and I'll be ready. Honestly, like, I'm not talking bad about Daniel Z or anything like that down there. I was putting too much on myself and trying to generate too much. And for me specifically, when I try and generate, I tend to get too low into my leg, my back leg, and jump forward. And instead of jumping forward and driving forward, I was jumping up. And so jumping up, losing everything out of my back hip, and then kind of opening up a little too early, so I had no kind of rotation going through, but yeah, there was a couple little tweaks that we were making, and that's why I said it's really hard to not see a person in real life or consistently on a daily basis and be able to pick out those little things. And that's something that I think throwing to Louis, throwing to Gonzo, throwing in front of Katz and Haas were kind of four big people I wanted to get in front of. And I don't know whether it could have just been coming back and the comfortability of being able to kind of be here on the mound that I've been using for the last 2 years. I think it made everything a little easier and it came back relatively naturally, but because I'd been out of whack for the week and a half ish that I was gone, it had that little bit of a build up to get back to where I needed to be.
How do you just deal physically? I mean, you had chemotherapy just 2 months ago. I mean, you've been pitching a long time. How do you feel physically compared to the rest of your career?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a little bit more of a boiler on me than I'm used to, but other than that, no, physically I feel fine. Obviously, there's still little aches and pains, but I mean, I don't feel as bad as I did at the end of last year. If you remember those last few outings, the two in San Diego and the one at home against Minnesota, like I was practically limping and not being able to move my right arm after those outings. So everything feels a heck of a lot better than I did last year, that's for sure. It's just not quite coming out of 99 yet. But that'll come. I have no doubt of that. Now it's just making sure I throw strikes on my breaking ball. And the good thing today was I still got six whiffs, I didn't have the killer instinct that I'm used to with two strikes. Usually when I get two strikes, it's a pretty much foregone conclusion I'm punching him out, in my eyes at least. And then I just didn't quite have that today.
You know, Liam's return to the field is not how you'd like to draw it up. There was no spring training for him. There was not this long rehab assignment. He was just down in Charlotte for a little bit, had a couple of live batting practices with the White Sox, so he's not exactly where he wants to be right now. The slider, he really had problems with the slider with two strikes, getting that wipeout pitch, but I believe he certainly believes it's going to be there. First day of spring training, Liam Hendricks is in the parking lot in Glendale. He sees Rick Hahn. And you're thinking, automatically, he's going on the 60-day injured list. And he tells Rick, hey, I might not need the 60 days, which is just shocking. Certainly was shocking at the time. And he was still going through cancer treatments at the time, chemotherapy. And he tells Rick Hahn, I may not need the 60-day injured list. And in fact, spring training ends. They're looking at the roster. And he did not even go on the 60-day injured list. And he pitched in this game on May the 29th. Christy, his wife, said this before the game. I knew Liam was going to be on the mound before we started chemo. That was his saving grace. He said, I'm going to play again if it takes me four rounds, if it takes me six rounds. I'm going to do that because I need to do that for myself. And then when all of the fan support got behind him, it was 100% a moment of, I'm doing this for the city of Chicago, end quote. That from Christy Hendricks. Before the game on Monday, I sat down and had a chat with Sebi Zavala and Andrew Vaughn about what Hendricks has meant to the team. All right, Sebi Zavala, I want to ask you about what it's been like to see the journey that Liam Hendricks has been on. You've been inside the clubhouse. You've been among him while he's been trying to come back. What has it been like from your eyes?
I mean, obviously, I don't know everything that he's gone through these past 6 months or however long he's known. But it's amazing to see how quick he's back to the field. I think it's been like a month since he's been cancer-free or remission. But, I mean, he's thrown. And in spring training, when he was still going through everything he had to do, he was happy. Everything was good. And it'll be a good night tonight if he gets in there. Hopefully he can get in there.
Yeah. He was throwing live bat in practice in Detroit. You were in the box. Yeah. How did it look?
Well, I didn't do so great, so I think I helped him get back on the roster a little faster. But
you do that on purpose, maybe?
Yeah. You know, I set my ego to the side and let him make sure he feels good. But he looked good, and obviously, if he wasn't ready, he wouldn't be on the roster. So, yeah. We got a dog over there.
I know there's a dog barking. It might be Liam, actually. What kind of inspiration has he been to the team?
Yeah, I mean, it might be what we need right now. Obviously, we're going through a little funk. We had a couple of good 2 weeks a few weeks ago, and we just got to get back to that. But we got to play good baseball from here on out. So,
when you see someone like him go through, how do you internalize that? Because, I mean, stage 4, this is something that's, you know, the fact that he's living and thriving like this and is about to play in a Major League Baseball game is something really special.
Right, yeah. Like I said, from day one of spring when I saw him with the smile on his face and the energy he had, it's hard not to feed off of that and use that towards yourself. Like, I haven't gone through anything that drastic in my life or like that life-threatening. So when you see someone going through that in good spirits all the time, it's real motivating.
Yeah. As he's walking by right now, what's it going to do for the bullpen?
I mean, you got one of the best closers in the game coming back, and anytime you add that to any bullpen, it's going to make everyone better no matter what spot they're in. Should be good for the team.
Yeah. Are you going to that place of when he's out there for the first time, what that is going to be like, or you don't even have any clue?
I try not to think about it. I like to be in the moment, and if I'm out there on the field with him, hopefully I could get some of that energy too.
Yeah, you're catching today, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, like, what kind of conversations have you had with Liam, if had any at all?
Just the same conversations I've had in years past. You know, no matter what he's going through, whatever anybody's going through, I wouldn't want to be treated differently. I know he's not like that, so you just got to treat him the same. You know, if we talk crap to each other, we're just going to talk crap to each other. We're just going to keep it light in the locker room. And yeah, you know, he's gone through some stuff, but he hasn't changed as a person, and it's just good to have him back.
What has Liam coming back meant to this team?
Yeah, you know, it's huge. I mean, for someone to go through something like that, you know, not very long ago. I mean, diagnosed in January. You know, and he's coming back and he's pitching already. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. What have you seen from what he's had to go through?
Yeah, determination, man. That's the number one thing from him. I remember right when he got diagnosed, you know, he sent me a text like, hey, this is what's going on, and went over to his house and he was like, yeah, May. I'm coming back in May. That's my goal. First thing he said, and I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty ambitious. And I mean, it's almost June. It's June yet? I don't know.
It's almost June.
But
still May. When he said that to you, what did you think?
First of all, I said, whoa, take it easy. Go through the steps first. I mean, you got to do chemo. You got to do all your stuff. You know, take care of that first. But I think for him, the biggest thing was, you know, just setting that goal of getting back. Helped him. And, you know, he made a pretty quick recovery.
You know him really well. Were you surprised by his attitude? Because when you get the news that he did, stage four, mm-hmm. non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you could have any sorts of emotions. What was he like back then, and what's he been like through the whole process?
Yeah, like I said earlier, determined. I mean, it didn't faze him, honestly. He's been headstrong through it and doing it the whole time, and it's been pretty awesome to see.
And so you're at spring training, and there he is in between cancer treatments, right? Did you see how tough it had been on him, or did he not show that?
No, he tried to hide it. I mean, he was really good at it. I mean, you would know, because I've also had my sister-in-law had the same thing, and like we knew like a couple days after chemo, it's tough on the body. You're not moving around. You're not doing much. You're sleeping. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 5, 6, 7 days after his treatments, he was back at the field throwing, doing what he needed to do. It's pretty cool.
What kind of lift is this going to be for the team?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of the best pitchers in baseball in the back end of a bullpen. You know, it's a big add.
Have you gone to that place of, boy, to get him on the mound, what that's going to feel like to see him?
Yeah, it's going to be special. I mean, you know, this place is probably going to erupt. Probably going to play a cool video, and, you know, good for him. That's all I got to say, good for him.
So Pedro Grifol said before the game that the plan was to have Grifol pitch outside the ninth inning. What that meant, generally speaking, clearly not ninth inning, but was it going to be high leverage, medium leverage, low leverage? We didn't really know, but he said he wanted to see how Liam felt after the adrenaline rush and then decide when it was best to put him back in the closer role, which could be quickly. Well, this was high leverage. This was a one-run game in the eighth, which I was talking with Ozzie Guillen on the postgame show a couple of days ago, and I was thinking, you know what? Put him in the ninth. Look at the battle he just faced. That was the highest of leverage you could possibly have facing off against cancer as opposed to the Los Angeles Angels. But there he was. Top of the ninth. Sorry, top of the eighth against the Angels. He gives up the two runs. Threw 27 pitches. I'm assuming he'll be back in a day or two to pitch again. When is he going to be back in the closer role? We'll have to wait and see. I did have one other conversation when I was down at the ballpark on Monday, and it was with Keenan Middleton, who has been incredible out of the bullpen. On Monday, he strikes out Trout and Ohtani back-to-back in the seventh, added another strikeout in the inning. He has a 1.45 ERA. Taped the podcast with him. That will be out on Thursday. He has been a remarkable story for the White Sox. So that is coming your way this week. But the biggest story is Liam Hendricks. What a comeback story he has been. And I'm looking forward to more excitement and some saves. Many, many saves from Liam Hendricks for the White Sox for the rest of this season. That is a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox. Check in with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.